I'm sorry, sir, but a gluttony's a sin. Whoa. And it would compromise my religious beliefs to enable you to live that lifestyle. I liked it, so I put it up there. Okay, one of those questions that we just throw out. You've heard in the Old Testament, they could not say the name of God, and if they printed it with a quill, they had to throw the quill away. Where's that found? It's not very familiar, that's true. Let me help you. Do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. So how can you not take the name in vain if you can't say the name? You can't. That verse about not saying his name is not found anywhere in the Old Testament or the New Testament. It's just one of those things that we have passed down in the church for years and years and years. And it's a way of avoiding grace. Yes, it was taught as law. This is one of those easy ones that we can get started with. Some of the Pharisees and teachers of law came to Jesus and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." Jesus replied, "Why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father and mother, 'Whatever help you might otherwise have received from me as a gift devoted to God,' he is not to honor his father with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men." Isn't that interesting? Somebody want to read this one?
Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean." Then the disciples came to him and asked, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" He replied,
Okay, one of my favorite verses is this. Do you know that that probably made the Pharisees a little mad? That you sat out there and you talked about laws they had made? And that they weren't going to stand? Do you think that might have made them just that much mad? Sometimes the apostles amaze me. Peter comes up and says the parable to us. "Are you still so dull? He asked them, "Don't you know that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and they come out of the body? But the things that are out of the mouth come from the heart. These make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean. And let's transfer you back to Bible times. If you're back there during the time of Jesus, there's a right way to wash your hands. First off, there was a correct amount of water that you could use. You couldn't do a whole bunch. I'm glad to see William III is here. Stick your hand up for a second and let everybody see it. Do you see a problem here? He needs more water than I do. He's got these big hands. I got these little hands. I bet you can palm a basketball. Yeah, I couldn't do that. I'm lucky I get a softball. So the first law is you only get so much water. Whether you're big, whether you're little, whether you're in between, you got to go with that amount of water. So far, so good. There was a correct order in which the hands and the fingers were washed. And I'm not going to tell you what it is because y'all would probably go home and feel guilty the rest of the night. But you were to wash your hands according to this set of rules. So far, so good. Once you got them washed, you had to dry them a certain way. And if you didn't dry them a certain way, you had to rewash. And you had to do the whole thing over.
The water drip off of your elbow.
Yes. I wasn't going to tell them that because they feel guilty. Paul said it drips off their elbows when they wash. It does. So you know that part. Where'd they get an idea like this?
One of those rules put in place.
Yeah, they made it up. If you would say, where in the Bible is that? They can't turn to it. It's not there. So far, so good. Okay. Somebody like to read?
As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him, and Matthew got up and followed. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners.
Where is it written that you can't be with a sinful person? Now, you've heard this preached. I've heard this preached a lot. Y'all had to hear this preached sometime. Where's that found? What law are they trying to grab hold of? Okay, the appearance of evil is over in Thessalonians. There's also in Corinthians, bad company corrupts good morals. That's usually the one I heard. Only that's not talking about bad company like the guy you're hanging around with is bad. It's talking about those who don't believe in the resurrection of Christ.
Don't be yoked together with unbelievers. Don't be yoked together with unbelievers.
Okay.
It's sort of interesting that they equated tax collectors to sinners.
Well, they pretty well, tax collectors were kind of, in our day, we would call it fraud. They took a lot of money that wasn't theirs to take. Yes. Good point. Somebody want to read? For the law? Of staying away from evil people? If they made several mistakes, they could be kicked out of the synagogue. So the Pharisees look at them and say, hang around bad people, you're going to do bad things, and they're going to kick you out of the synagogue. Okay?
That's going to bring this forward, like the Ten Commandments, the first two, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Uh-huh.
And then the second one is like it, love your neighbor.
Uh-huh. But the idea that somebody's a bad person and we should stay away from them, not biblical. Because if it was, Jesus would be in a heap of trouble. Somebody like to read. Okay, Simon's the Pharisee here. What has he done for Jesus?
Didn't wash his feet.
He did not treat him like a guest.
His perspective is, you should feel honored that I invited you to my house.
Okay, Simon should feel that honor that... Okay, caught you now. Good. Is there a command anywhere that says you cannot touch a sinner? We better hope there's not, because we learned very early in the study in Romans 3, we're all sinners.
In 1 Corinthians 5, Paul puts something in perspective for the church at Corinth because they had misunderstood what he said. He said, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all talking about the people of this world who are immoral or greedy or swindlers or idolaters. In that case, you'd have to leave the world.
Uh-huh.
I'm talking about Christians who behave that way. So he made a distinction that says, I'm not ever telling you not to associate with the people, because how else are you going to reach them?
Uh-huh.
But if people claim to be something they're not, that's different.
Yes, that's very different. So far, so good. Yeah, and the reason they did that is you give it to the temple, it is cycled back through the Pharisees. One of my favorites. Y'all know this one. This is the three parables. The lost sheep, the lost coin, lost son. Why'd they tell that parable? To make the sinner feel value. Good. Why else? Very good. Anybody else want to comment?
Mark?
Yeah.
Also, they continue from the perspective to not look upon themselves as being sinners.
Mm-hmm.
They think they don't sin.
Right.
And so they don't get it.
Now, if you had a Pharisee coming up to you in this day and time, what are your feelings? Uh-oh. What else? I call it the called into the principal's office feeling. You ever get called into the principal's office when you were in high school? Sue never was. I'm the flip side of this arrangement. I made up for her not going. You get that feeling being caught. And therefore, whenever a Pharisee's coming close to you, you do your best to do a back race, backing up, just enough to let him pass. Because if he sees you, he can claim a number of things. So it creates that fear of who was supposed to be the guys teaching Israel about their faith. They're scared to death of them. So far, so good. I wonder what they thought when Jesus got around to this. I tell you, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Does that turn any lights on?
Everyone's important.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't think you're sick, you don't have to go to the
doctor. Mm-hmm.
Because you know that they're...
Yeah, we'll come around and catch that in a little bit. So what does this do for the idea of teaching somebody to stay away from those unrighteous sinners?
Can't
see if you stay away. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Yeah, they're supposed to come up and ask us.
Chase you down?
I'm playing with you, man. It's my fault. It just came out. All righty. Where's the not-so-right people here? Yeah.
Jesus reached the spot. He looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus,
So Zacchaeus is the guy here. Zacchaeus is tax collector. People who were Jewish hated the tax collectors because tax collectors were Jewish who were employed by the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire would sit down and say, we want this amount of money out of this corner. And then the tax collector would do whatever it took to get that amount of money plus a little more so he could fill his pockets.
A lot more,
yes.
The crooks are calling the crooks. What they do at the temple is worse than what the tax collectors did for Rome.
It is. Okay. It's happening today? In what way? Yeah. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth. They have received their reward in full. I'll pick on Don. Yeah, you're sort of maimed and everything. He has some work done. Why would they do that? Yes, they look like they're doing righteous stuff. Have you all seen the Planet Fitness commercial on TV? They got this real big muscular guy on the bike, and he's looking around and says, I'm seeing who's looking at me. Yeah, that guy's looking at me, and that guy's looking, they're looking at me. That's the Pharisees here. Look at us. Look at all the money we give. That exactly right. You're doing good. Mike.
In John 5, Jesus says, this is what keeps them from believing. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and you do not seek the glory of God that is from you? You do not seek the glory that is from one another.
This is a very proud individual. Yeah. Narcissistic personality disorder, yeah. They want everybody to look around and go, wow, every time they get up and give money. So this is a very proud guy, and he feeds his pride. This one used to bother me. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. It is not saying this hand should not know what this hand is doing, because you can't get there. But what it's saying is do it for the right reasons. And it'll be okay. If it's not the right reasons, it's not okay. Okay. When you pray, Don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And when your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't keep babbling on like the pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Okay, where's this one coming from? I haven't picked on Chuck yet. We're going to have you pray. Where do you want to pray? If you're this kind of guy.
Pray all about me.
Yes. And you pray in public all about you and how great you are and how wonderful that things are going your way and the whole world should look up to you and everybody should just say, oh, we're so thankful he's part of our synagogue that he can do this. And everybody's so proud. That was his motive. And so Jesus says, if the motive is to impress people, you got it. But it doesn't go to God.
Two men went up to the temple to pray.
Yes. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood there and told God how good he was. And all the tax collector says, be merciful to me, a sinner. Right. Which is the normal way Jewish people.
And of course, that's what you started out with, the idea of avoiding grace. You know, they don't need any grace.
No, they don't.
They need no grace. They've made it. They've arrived.
Okay. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men their fasting. I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you openly. Now, just reward you. The other one's openly. New King James. What's it now? This is makeup time, makeup, come here, I want you to make me look like I'm fasting. So make my face look shallow, put a little bit of chalk on it so I get that white look like somebody who hasn't been eating for a long time. And let me go about, and I'll sort of go very slowly because I haven't eaten in how many days? Well, and so you put makeup on to look like you're fasting.
Your whole religion was about pleasing self or promoting self or being relevant to everything that goes along with their religion. It wasn't about serving God. It wasn't about loving people. And it was more excluding than including. And we need to be careful today that we are not doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Somebody want to read?
Then Jesus said to the crowd,
yeah.
And the tassels on their garment long. They love the place of honor of banquets and the most important seat in the synagogue.
Okay, good. Where is he coming from now? Oh, let me convert somebody. Charlie, we have to convert somebody. And this is our Pharisee. So Chuck's going to come to Charlie's house. And he converts him. What's the first thing he does? He pulled out his rule book and said, let me tell you all the rules that you got to keep if you're going to be right for that. And so he piles them on. What's wrong with that?
He doesn't care
whether they are something they can't do or not. Very good. What else?
He doesn't do it.
He might preach it, but he isn't doing it. No, he's just going to bring him in and say, go to it. Yeah? What's this thing about a phylactery? Anybody know what they are? They wear them on their heads. They wear them on their sleeves. And down toward the bottom of the hem of their garments, they put them there. Well, they had a little box up here that Bible dropped, and that's a misunderstanding of a verse out of Deuteronomy. But these guys look the part. When Chuck shows up, he looks the part. He walks the part. He talks the part. But he's not going to do it. He's just going to let Charlie do it and worry about it. Very good. Somebody want to read? Oh, let Hank, you want to read?
Oh, woe to you, teachers of the law, Pharisees, you hypocrites, you shake the kingdom of heaven at men's faces. You yourself do not enter, or will you let those enter who are trying to? Woe to you, teachers of the law, Pharisees, you hypocrites. You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much.
Ooh. You think he upset some people when he got here? Yeah, I would think so too. Yeah, it is.
They persuade people not to believe the truth.
Yeah, they actually get them to believe something other than the truth. Yeah, and the Galatians got teachers in there who said, don't count on grace, you got to do something. Somebody like to read?
Inside, they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean.
Okay. The first real thing that he gives them is they're making a tenth of their spices, their mints, their dill, and their cumin. Is that part of what God has asked them to do? Y'all shake your heads this way, so I know you're awake.
The reason they're doing it is because they want to prove that they're doing even the little thing.
Yeah. They're going to second and third and fourth and fifth mile. Yeah, he does. But the second thing that he says is, you're giving all this attention to your spices, but there are more important things in life that you're not giving any attention to. Things like matters of the law, justice, mercy, faithfulness. You're not doing anything in those realms. You're just giving your 10% of your spices and dew. He calls him a blind guide who strains out on that but swallows a camel. Anybody know who that, what that means? Yeah, because if it had a bug in it, the bug would have blood in it, and you would, yeah. And then you've partaken of blood that's not yours. But he says, instead of that, you swallow a camel. Now, what's wrong with a camel?
Big.
It's big. They were unclean animals. You're worried about the little gnat, and you're swallowing the unclean animals. You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will also be clean. We won't take that one on.
You dress fancy, but you don't live right.
Yeah, you dress fancy, but don't live right. It's good commentary. Woe to you, teachers of the law, Pharisees, you hypocrites. You're like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside, they're full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you're full of hypocrisy and wickedness. You look like you're good, but inside there are people who are dead, and you can't touch a dead person. Which of the two did this, what the father wants? This is a guy who went to his son and said, I want you to work in my vineyard. And he says, okay. Then he goes to his second son. And he says, I want you to work in my vineyard. And he says, no way. The one who said he wouldn't go, he goes. And the one who said he was going, he doesn't. John came to show you the way of righteousness, but you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent in believing. Okay. And come over here. How do you avoid grace?
Supplant it?
Okay.
Replace it with something else.
Yes. What do you replace it with? Rules. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Your good looks.
Your good looks. Thank you. Rule keeping. When I went to Lipscomb, it was that time of year when they really were on the guys about growing their hair longer. Because this is the 70s. And the hair covered the ears. When I was at Lipscomb, your ears could not be covered with your hair. Because that was a no-no. So if you got called into the dean, you just sort of did one of these over your ears, kept the hair off, completing the cover of the ears, and you go talk to the dean. They had other things. You can't play cards. You can't play games with dice in the bison room. Why? You can gamble with cards and dice. Yes. Somebody might happen to go by and see it through their window and think, who knows what they'd think. When you get there, watch the change. It's up to you. It's up to you to keep the rules. It's up to you to do what's necessary. It's up to you to be. But we are saved by grace through faith, and it's not of ourselves. It's not a bunch of rules. It's faith in a Jesus who died for you.
And it's not about appearances.
It's not about appearances at all. Much that happens is happening behind the scenes. But that's so important to grasp. When people start laying rules down, you ask them, where do you find that in the Bible? And if they can't produce a place, then it doesn't count. We want to get into what God wants us to do, not what some guy decided that we should do. And there are some rules that are really, really bad out there. Okay? Y'all did good. This is a tough lesson to give. No, I didn't do that.